Thank you, Brady, for quoting that passage of Scripture to us this morning. And thanks to each of you over this last month who have tried to memorize that passage of Scripture. I commend you for that. I do have a passage selected for this coming month of February. It's printed in your bulletin today, and I certainly would encourage you to take time to try and memorize this passage of Scripture. This is from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself.'" See, I'm working on it too. "He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And we'll talk more about that passage in the weeks to come. Before I get to my message, let me say just a couple of things. One, just to reiterate what Gary has mentioned following the video that you just watched in the service. We really do want to help you in your faith journey. And if you have not been baptized and would like to learn more about that, please feel free to reach out to us. We would be absolutely thrilled to sit down with you, Bible in hand, and show you what God's Word has to say about the subject of baptism. Now, I noticed too, several of you are wearing red today. Hopefully, we'll be wearing red one more day after today. I don't know if you will recognize the name of Lee Corso. I have a picture of him. Probably as you see his face, you will recognize him as an ESPN analyst. I've heard that he has been making his rounds this week to the four playoff teams that are left, and he has found one thing in common of all four of those teams. He noticed that each team had a very special phone on their bench. And this intrigued him, so he began to check into it more. He learned that these phones were actually hotlines to God for when the coach needed a special play called. And he found, too, that there was some discrepancy between the four teams with this special phone. He found out that the San Francisco 49ers, if the coach wanted to make a call to God about a play, he had to pay $1,000 up front to make that call. Now, he found, too, that with the Rams, they were getting a little bit of a better deal. They were only having to pay $800 for this hotline to God. He went on out to Cincinnati, and he found that for the Bengals team, the coach had to pay only $500 to get on this hotline call to God. And so when he came to Kansas City and found out that Andy Reid could get on his hotline to God and make a phone call for just $1, he didn't know how that made sense. He began to try and investigate it further, come to find out the hotline to God from Kansas City's bench was a local call, okay? It's hard to believe that we are 5 weeks into this series of Follow Me. Of course, Jesus is the one who is beckoning us to follow Him. And today's message is, Follow Me, I'll teach you about prayer. And first of all, Jesus wants to teach us the priority of prayer. You cannot read through the Gospels without noticing the high priority that Jesus gave to prayer. He didn't just talk about prayer, he practiced prayer. over and over again. He got away from the crowd to have time alone with his heavenly Father. Let me read to you some of those passages that give us evidence of that. The first passage would be Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place and was praying there." Now, you've heard me say this before. Mind over mattress. Mind over mattress. Jesus disciplined himself to get out of bed before the day got busy and to get away for the purpose of prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Why would he do that? I would say he needed that time with his heavenly Father. He valued that time with his heavenly Father. And if that was true for him, it should be true for you and me too. We should understand our need to be with God alone. We should value that time that we have with him. Jesus got away from the crowd. He found a solitary place and he spent some time, some quality time, talking to God. And we need that in our personal lives. What happens to our cell phones if we don't recharge them? They die, don't they? That happens to us spiritually too. The world can be a drain on us. We need that time with God. We need our batteries recharged. And we do that through getting alone with God. How many Christians are trying to live their lives on a battery that is in the red? We can't do that for very long. We need to step into the prayer closet and have him recharge our spiritual batteries. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 is another passage. It says, "And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." Now, I read that, and I have to admit to you, I confess to you, I have never spent a whole night in prayer to God. I probably should have. For certainly, there have been reasons for which I have needed to pray more. My point, though, from this passage is not so much that you would feel like you've got to spend a whole night in prayer to God. My point from this passage is simply this, that Jesus' prayer was a high priority for him. He carved out time from his schedule to pray. Let me read to you a couple of passages from Luke chapter 9, verse 18. "And it happened while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, 'Who do people say that I am?'" I want you to see, as here he's there in Caesarea Philippi, he's about to have his disciples make this great confession of who he is. It's a very important time in his ministry to have those men recognize his identity. And what is it that he's doing ahead of that time? He's praying. Let me read to you verses 28 and 29 from that same chapter. "Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up onto the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming." This is the Mount of Transfiguration. The scripture says he went up onto that mountain for the purpose of prayer. And there are so many more passages that I could read to you. Right before he died, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. For what purpose? To pray. And then backing up considerably to the very beginning of his ministry, when Jesus was baptized, Luke 3:21 says, "While he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him." I read that passage of scripture this week, and this thought came to my mind. When we take time to pray, heaven comes down to us. Think about that. That's something to meditate on. When we take time to pray, heaven comes down to us. James 4, 8 says, draw near to God, and what? He will draw near to you. I want to encourage you to make sure that you are having some alone time with God the Father. Get away from the hurried up pace that we often live in so that you can have some time with your Heavenly Father. Get away from the noise of the TV. Get away from the distraction of your phone and just spend some focused time on God and His Son, Jesus. You'll be amazed at how refreshed you feel if you take time to be with them. That time will fill you up to overflowing. And if you are already a prayer warrior, you know that what I'm saying is true. If you're not a prayer warrior yet, I want to challenge you to become one, because this is the avenue to a relationship with your Creator. This is the pathway to finding that rich, fulfilling life that Jesus was talking about. He said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Do you want to have a life that's filled up to overflowing? Then hang out with Jesus on a regular basis, and that's what you will begin to experience. The world has a way of overloading us with stress and chaos and the search for something more. Jesus, on the other hand, though, has a peace that is available to us, a peace that is beyond all understanding, the scripture says. He satisfies our thirsty soul. He has a way of bringing calm to our troubled waters. It's not that He removes all the storms from us. It's just that He gives us peace amidst the storms. And we need this kind of time with Him. Would you dare to begin taking time, making prayer a priority as Jesus did? Secondly, Jesus wants to teach us the power of prayer. Maybe you recall in Mark chapter 9 of Jesus' transfiguration. In fact, we read this account from Luke's gospel just a moment ago. Mark confirms this, that the reason Jesus went up onto that mountain in the first place was for the purpose of prayer. And Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on that mountain. The scripture says that His face shone like the sun. And Mark's account says this, that His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. It must have been an incredible scene on the top of that mountain. And Peter and James and John were eyewitnesses of that transfiguration. And you recall when they came down from the mountain and they hooked up with the other disciples at the bottom of the mountain, there was a different kind of scene taking place there at the bottom of the mountain. There had been a father whose son was demon-possessed. And he had approached the disciples and said, "Can you cast this demon out of my son?" And they tried, but they could not. And so as Jesus and Peter and James and John, as they came down from the mountain, the Father sees them. And what's He do? He runs over to Jesus and He asks Jesus the same question that He had asked the other disciples. He said, "Jesus, I have my son here. He's demon-possessed. Can you cast the demon out?" And Jesus did. He cast the demon out. And later, those other nine disciples cornered Jesus and they said, "Jesus, why could we not cast the demon out? And you did." Do you remember his answer? Mark chapter 9, verse 29 is his answer. He says, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Suggesting that there is a great power that comes through prayer. Would you say this with me? There is great power in prayer. Let's say it together. There is great power in prayer. It's the truth. And please understand, the power is not in us praying as though we're rubbing a magic lamp. Rather, the power lies in the one whom we're praying to. And he is able still to do the miraculous. I'm wondering, what if, just imagine with me, what if all of us together prayed for God's Spirit to be moving in people's lives on February 20th, Baptism Sunday? What if we all came together in prayer about that day? I wonder what mountains might be moved. What if all of us together prayed in faith that our church would grow in its discipleship, this idea of following Jesus? What if all of us together every day were praying about this? God, help me, help the church family at Reinhardt, help us all to become better followers of you. What if we prayed that together in unison? I'm thinking there could be some mountains moved. I'm thinking there would be some people who would be dropping their nets, so to speak, and leaving behind their boats to follow Jesus. There is great power in prayer. Let me give to you a third point. Jesus wants to teach us how to pray. I find it interesting that out of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them to do, they said, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" Think with me for a moment. What kinds of requests might they have asked Jesus? "Lord, Would you teach us how to preach? Lord, would you teach us how to cast out demons? Lord, would you teach us how to love?" I mean, there's all kinds of requests that they could have asked Jesus, but what they dialed in on was this question, "Lord, could you teach us how to pray?" What's the significance of that? There's got to be a significance behind that. I think they could see the prayer life of Jesus as a key component to his life and who he was. They saw it as a key component to the relationship that he had with his heavenly Father. And they said, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Like you pray?" And I'm thinking that's a question that we ought to be asking him as we enter into that prayer closet ourselves. "Lord, would you just teach me how to pray?" Let's dare ask him that question. A very simple outline that I learned years ago that has helped me in my praying to God, the word ACTS, when used as an acrostic, provides a great plan for praying. And probably a good number of you have seen this. A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration or praise. That's a component that is so important for our prayer life, to just spend some time acknowledging who He is. It's giving praise to Him for who He is. He is the Son of God. He is God the Creator. He is holy. He is loving. His grace is sufficient. His patience goes on and on. His goodness is everlasting. He is the truth. He is our peace and our comforter. He is our sustainer. He is our provider and protector. And you could add to that list easily yourself. But as we enter into the prayer closet, that we would just take some time for the purpose of praise, to be quiet before Him, or to be loud before Him and give Him the praise that He is so deserving of. When I began really years ago to get serious about prayer in my life, and I learned about praise to Him, it totally changed me. And that can be true for all of us. Take time to be with your Heavenly Father, to be with Jesus, and to spend a good portion of that time in praise to Him. Before you get to the request, before you get to the Lord, would you do this for me? Spend time just praising Him for how awesome He is. C stands for confession. Confession of our sins. We need to take time for that too, and to be forgiven of our sins. We need that desperately. We need cleaned, washed. And that happens through confession. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Scripture says. T stands for thanksgiving. And we have a lot to be thankful for. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Praise is acknowledging Him for who He is, and thanksgiving is acknowledging to Him what He has done for us, the blessings that He has poured out upon us. And He wants us to be thankful. You remember the story of the 10 lepers that were healed? Only one came back, and Jesus said to that one, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Jesus was appreciative of the one who expressed gratitude to Him. And He has done so much for us. And you could come up with your own personal list of blessings, your own list of what He has done for you and what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for my salvation and my family and my health, and I'm thankful for my freedom. I'm thankful for our home. I'm thankful for our friends, our provision, our church family. And as I think about all the goodness that God has bestowed upon me personally, it reminds me that God is good all the time. Amen. And Paul says we should even give thanks in all things, even our troubles, because God can take those troubles and He can work good from them if we will trust Him. And S stands for supplication. Now, that's a good King James word, isn't it? It simply means request. Take time for request to the Lord. And it's okay to request of Him those things about yourself. Lord, I need this. He tells us to ask. It's okay to have personal requests. And we have all kinds of things that we should be asking God for. One of the best, I've mentioned this to you more than once, one of the best exercises that I've ever gone through was prompted by a video teaching, kind of like what we had today, except on the subject of prayer. And Howard Hendricks was the one doing the teaching on prayer, and he challenged his listeners. He's saying, you've got family members that you pray for. Take time to narrow down to the five most important things to you for them. Narrow your list down to five things that are the most important to you about your family members, and every day you spend time lifting to God those five requests about your family. Wow, that caused some meditation. That caused some agonizing of what I most want for my kids and my wife and my grandkids. And I'll tell you what's not on the list. I'm not praying, Lord, give them a good job that makes a lot of money. No, not even close. But I am praying that they would know Jesus and that they would love Jesus first with all their heart, and that each of my family members would be in heaven with me. I pray about that unceasingly. And I pray for my family to be honest and to be pure and to love each other. Those are the five things that I pray about for my family every day, unceasingly. And over the years, that list of five things has grown into a list of about 12 things that really, really are important to me for them. I want to encourage you to go through such an exercise. Get away by yourself and just think about, what is it that I want most for my family? And write those things down on a list, and that becomes your prayer list as we talk about supplication. Now, obviously, there will be a lot of other things that come along the way. Maybe they will need a job. Maybe they will need to make more money. They have health issues. Lots of things that we can pray for our family about. And then we should be praying for each other. I'm hoping that we have our church family on this prayer list that we have, and that we pray for each other. I'm hoping that you pray for me and for Elijah in our ministries here at Reinhardt as we try to do ministry in Jesus' name, that you would be praying for us, that God would bear fruit through us, that God would speak to us. Would you pray for the church leaders? Would you pray for the youth group? It's not easy to be a young person and living in this world today. We need to be praying for the young people in our church. And yes, there are people who are sick who need God's healing hand, and there are people who are lost that need saved. All of these different request should be a part of our prayer life to God. We have brothers and sisters across the world who are facing persecution. This last week, we received in the mail from the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if you're familiar with that ministry, but they specialize in helping Christians here in the U.S. to understand that across the world there are brothers and sisters who are suffering extreme persecution for their faith. And as I opened this envelope, there was a map of the world. And all of those places across the world that are suffering extreme persecution, that map told me about that. I thought, that's a map that needs to go in my office, because I'll see it every day, and it reminds me to pray for my brothers and sisters across the world who are facing persecution. And Jesus told us to pray for more workers for the harvest field. You know, when we get to this last part, this supplication or requests, there's all kinds of things that we can be lifting up to God. He says, ask and seek and knock. Jesus says, follow me, and I will teach you about prayer. Let's pray together. God, would you help us to learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed? Amen.